Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. In March 1980, a massive flood from the Ganaraska River covered much of downtown Port Hope. It was devastating. But rather than let it defeat the town, residents responded in defiance, creating one of the hallmark spring events in Northumberland County. In this interview, you will hear about this year's Float Your Fanny Down the Ganny. Co-organizer Barry Lee Price is on the show. She is going to fill us in on all the different things going on, from the canoes to the crazy craft, from Fannyville to the costumes. She will take us through all the details. Take a listen and see if you want to participate, either on the water or on the shoreline. I'm so pleased to have with me today Barry Lee Price, the co-organizer of the Float Your Fanny Down the Ganny. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Float Your Fanny Down the Ganny is one of the highlight events in Port Hope. Not only does it mark the historic flood in March of 1980, but it is also a tradition that heralds spring and is a major tourism attraction. It is almost like it's a rite of spring locally. So as a member of the leadership team that puts it together, what do you look forward to most for this year's event?
The community. It really is about the community and seeing thousands, literally thousands of people come out after hibernation all winter for a lot of people, just come out and enjoy what Port Hope has to offer, which is the beautiful Ganaraska River and a beautiful community spirit.
What are some of the new features of the race this year compared to past years?
I don't think that I could say there's any new features this year. Using the old adage, if it's not broke, don't fix it. We have a great event and we just keep trying to build on that. So we have the canoes and the kayaks, the stand-up paddle boards all in Canton from Sylvan Glen. We have the Crazy Craft launch. That's the big feature of the event. Everybody floats down to the finish line in Fannyville, as we like to call it, which is around the Barrett Street Bridge area on Cavan Street. That's where we have our big festival. We've got, again, this year, we've got a big adventure zone with inflatable obstacle courses, axe throwing, lots of carnival games. We've got a live band again this year. We've got the Kids Zone, which has kids crafts and the infamous raft craft, where kids get to build their own little crazy craft and float it in the paddling pools. We've got little bouncy castles for them, lots of food vendors, lots of artisan vendors this year. We're really trying to push the community and local craft people this year on the riverbank. So trying to get a few more of those on the riverbank. But again, I think it's more of the same.
Lots there. I think we'll have a good time unpacking it all. There is currently an appeal to those interested to register now. What is the process?
So we do encourage people to register in advance. It just helps with our planning and making sure that we have enough volunteers in place to support everybody. So we do encourage you to go to floatyourfanny.ca and register your canoe, your kayak, your crazy craft. By registering in advance, you do get the option of ordering a unique survivor t-shirt, which can only be ordered in advance. If you show up on the day, we won't have any because we do just order as many as we get orders for.
Can I register on the day that it occurs?
Absolutely. We know that sometimes it's hard to get commitment out of a crew and that things happen. So we do obviously always offer on-site registration. All you do is go to your start location. So if you're a canoe or kayak, you'd go to your Canton start location with cash in hand and you'd pay your registration fee there. Crazy Crafts would go to Sylvan Glen and you would pay your fee there. Now it is more expensive to register on the day because obviously, like I said, we try and encourage people to do it beforehand, but it's not a lot more. It's only $5 more.
Can you tell us the various ways that people can participate? You've already mentioned that there's these different categories, but can you tell us a bit more about
So if you want to be a participant on the river, you obviously you need to register. You would then show up at your start location. You would have to bring a mandatory life jacket. Doesn't matter what category you are in. If you are on the river, you must wear a life jacket. We have what we call an accreditation team at all the start locations, and they're the people that you have to stand in front of with your life jacket. They will look at your life jacket. They'll make you sign the waiver and they'll give you a wristband with your bib number if you're a canoe or a kayak, or your craft number if you're a crazy craft, and then you're registered in the event. If you want to be a little bit more leisurely and a little bit warmer and drier, you can participate as a spectator. We encourage people to go to either of the start locations and watch the starts. You can go basically anywhere you can access the river and see them come down. And then, of course, there's Fannyville with our big spectators where most of the spectators would go. You can see the finish line and you can be involved in all the activities that are on the finish line area in the Fannyville. The other thing is if you want to be a little bit more involved than that, then I would say come out and volunteer. We're always looking for people to help out in lots of different capacities. Even so much as on the Friday, we are looking for people to help us set up all the infrastructure on the riverbank on Friday. And then we have people that we need to help with our registrations on the morning of Saturday. We have people to oversee bouncy castles and t-shirt sales and giving out snacks to all the participants. So there's lots of ways to volunteer. And again, if you're interested in that, you go to floatyourfanny.ca and there's a button there that says volunteer now. And you give us all your details and our volunteer coordinator reaches out and then we get you helping out with the event.
What are some of the more memorable designs and costumes that you recall?
Oh, wow. There has been a lot over the years. This is year 16 for me as an organizer, and I probably was a participant for 5 or 6 years before that. So I've seen a lot of designs for Crazy Crafts, some that don't work so well, and some that are have been fantastic. I think one of the biggest and most memorable was probably, I want to say, 8 years ago, we had a Star Trek, I'd say that right, Star Trek Enterprise, and it was phenomenal. We weren't sure it was going to go under the bridge at the start location, but it did. They had it designed so that it came apart and went under the bridge, and then they rebuilt it on the other side of the bridge and it floated down. It was incredible. And then all the crew were Star Trek people. So that was a really great one. We have had a big monster tractor, so huge soft tires and a tractor body that they had built out of wooden cardboard. So some really big designs. And then there's lots of little ones that come back year after year with the same team and they just change up their themes. So it's great. You can make it as big as you want it to be and as intricate if you're a real big builder. But if not, we have people that come back with the same design and just change up their costumes every year, which is also fantastic.
Before we go too far, maybe it's a good time to let people who may not be familiar with the race or the flood to share the history of the event. Can you tell us how this all started and how it's progressed.
So in 1980, Port Hope was flooded by the Ganaraska River. It wasn't the same structure as it is now. It didn't have the big banks on the side of it. It was a lot narrower. And in the spring runoff, the mouth of the river got jammed up by ice, and the entire town was devastated and demolished by Mother Nature and the river swelling. After that, the town rebuilt and said, "We're not going to let this river beat us. We're resilient, we're fun people, and we're going to make this a celebration." And in 1981, people got together and, on the anniversary of the flood, started floating down the river. And that kind of became the start of Float Your Fanny Down the Ganny. And it's been happening every year since then, minus the couple of COVID years. But the event itself has been happening since the 1981.
On average, how many participants do you get coming out?
We get a close to 400 participants. 2019, just before COVID struck, was our biggest year. We had 63 crazy crafts. I think we had about 97 canoes and kayaks, and we had 587 people on the river. The post-COVID, it's been a little bit lighter, but we are again gaining momentum with every year. And last year we had, I think it was almost 400 people on the river.
Do you track how many people attend, visitors, tourists that come to the event?
Tracking people on the riverbank and spectators is next to impossible when you think that the river, the race itself spans 14 kilometers of the river. And as I said, we've got our several start locations which see spectators at that maybe never come downtown. We then have all the private property along the riverbank who host watching parties, and you get photos and pictures of people coming down the river that show hundreds of people lining the riverbank on somebody's field that backs onto the river. And then you've got Fannyville, which is a bustling hub of thousands of people. Oh, don't forget the fish ladder. You've got the fish ladder where people are watching. And then you hit Fannyville, which has got the mask majority of the crowds, which we again isn't gated, so you're not counting people in and out. The only thing that we do is we take recommendations and counts from the emergency personnel, so our security team, the police, the fire department, OCAP, that all are walking around and doing crowd control counts, and they kind of all give us a number of what they think is on the riverbank, and then we go from there. A few years ago, we did do a economic impact study, and we did have people on the riverbank doing surveys, and their calculations showed that there were close to 10,000 people watching the event. So again, that all depends on the weather. If it's a beautiful sunny day, then those numbers swell. If it's a not so sunny day, then the numbers might be down. But yeah, there's no way of actually counting.
You've mentioned volunteers. How many people are involved in putting on this event?
So we have a new committee this year, a new organizing committee with some dedicated individuals. There's nine new committee members that are learning the ropes and helping organize this year's event. And then when it comes time to, what as I call it, boots on the ground, to moving in and making the event actually happen, we probably over the course of several days would have almost 100 volunteers in different doing different things over different times.
What are the some of the challenges organizers face?
The biggest challenge is sponsorship. People don't realize, and most people don't realize, that although Float Your Fanny is a Port Hope event. It is not a Municipality of Port Hope run event. We are a not-for-profit organization, independently, I guess, owned, volunteer-led, and we get massive, massive support from the Municipality of Port Hope. We couldn't run the event without their support and their partnership, but we do have to find a lot of our own sponsorship for the event. So that's a challenge. It is an expensive event to run when you think about the infrastructure and all the safety and everything that we offer on the riverbank that's free. We try and offer all the activities for free so that the only thing people are paying for on the riverbank is their food. But everything else is free. So that all takes huge sponsorship. So that's a very big challenge every year. And then there's a lot of infrastructure, as I was saying. So I spend a lot of time in meetings with the different emergency services, making sure that we've got everybody safe, counting people in, counting people out. What are our procedures so that if there is any kind of an incident, and getting volunteers. That's a hard one, and it's becoming harder and harder every year to get people to come out and volunteer. And with the nature of this event, so many of our positions need young backs, if I'll say. We need very able-bodied volunteers because it is very labor intensive, a lot of our positions. So again, that's becoming more and more of a challenge.
It must be incredibly cold, both in the water but also in the air. What do participants do to prepare for this?
We highly, highly recommend full wetsuits. The well-prepared participants will come with wetsuits that go all the way down to their ankles and wetsuit booties. They can get them at Canadian Tire. You can get them at, your sporting stores. And we do recommend what we call the full wetsuit. So many participants show up in shorty suits, which are the ones that end at their knees, which I always find very amusing because the first thing they do is step into the water and the water is knee deep. So wetsuits not actually keeping them warm. So it is important that you try and get a wetsuit. A lot of people do come in hip waders. We're not big fans of hip waders because hip waders are great if you're walking in the river, but if you fall into the river and those hip waders fill with water, you're now just a big sinking ship. And although you do have a life jacket on, we don't want to put people in that situation. The river is walkable for a majority of it, but there are sections that are 6, 8 feet deep. So you just want to make sure that whatever you're wearing is not going to become something that can fill with water and pull you under, even with a life jacket on. So yeah, life jackets, wetsuits, and then that's for your lower body. And then I would say layers on the top. You want to wear again something that you can take off because we have had days where you've started the race and it's been quite chilly, but by 11:30, halfway down the river, it's sunny and 15 degrees, and you're taking sweaters off. So layer up and try and get a wetsuit.
The Ganarasca River is a recognized fishery, and many rainbow trout use it for spawning. What steps are taken to ensure the preservation of this natural resource?
So we do have done studies with the GRCA, the MNR, and the Canadian Department of Oceans and Fisheries. They do know that we are on the river and doing the event at this time, and they have decided that the event does not doesn't have a drastic impact. I can't say that it doesn't have an impact, but that it doesn't have a drastic long-term impact on the fish population over the greater amount of time. We do recommend and we do ask everybody stay on their rafts as much as possible, and that we try and keep the the feet on the ground on the riverbank as minimal as possible, but it does happen. And just like anything else, we just try and minimize the impact as much as we can.
How do you pay for the vent?
So, as I had mentioned before, we have a great partnership with the municipality of Port Hope, who gives us a large grant money for the event, and then sponsorship. We have gotten probably 60%, if not 70%, of the event is paid for through sponsorship. We do charge a small fee for participants on the river, and we do charge the vendors a small fee. But again, we try and keep the participant fees as low as possible because they're the reason we're all here. Like, if we didn't have people participating on the river, we wouldn't have Float Your Fanny Down the Ganny. So we have a small fee for them. And then vendor fees, again, are as low as possible because the whole adage of the event was a community event for the community, supporting the community. So we try and encourage community groups to come out and promote, raise money, do what they can for their community groups. So we are trying to make that accessible to everyone.
How much does it cost to do it?
This year's projection for the event is approximately $80,000.
I have no doubt there might be a few skeptics out there that might question why anyone would want to float down a freezing cold river in the early spring and try to tell people it's fun. What makes this event so much fun for the participants and spectators alike?
I think it's because it's unique. It's you're not just floating down the river. And I mean, there are those that come out and are in their canoe or their kayak, and they do simply float down the river. But for the majority of the participants, it's getting dressed up. It's getting dressed up in something crazy and wacky and challenging yourself to do the 14 kilometers, to do the rapids, to get wet, to get cold, to laugh. The laughter that goes on the river. I've been very lucky the last several years to be able to be at the start location for the crazy crafts and to be at the finish when they all come in again. And the joy and the camaraderie that is at the beginning of the race and at the end of the race is infectious. And so I think that's what it is. It's a bucket list item. It's something that for a lot of people, they've grown up in the community or in the area and know of it. And it's just something that you do.
One year ago, you and your co-chair, Barry Adamson, announced an intention to seek new leadership for the annual Float Your Fanny Down the Ganny event. Is this your final year?
Well, never say never. I can't answer that honestly. I would hope not. We didn't announce our retirement last year, and as I say to people, it was a great 7 months. But it is a huge undertaking, and Barry and I had done it for several years, effectively just the two of us, and it just got too much. We looked to hand it over to new leadership, and we didn't have a lot of luck at the beginning. And then in January, February, we had a few people that approached us and said, "Hey, we're interested in learning, we're interested in doing it, but we don't have the experience. So will you stay on and help us organize the event, help us get the event going?" And I said, "Absolutely," because I don't want to see the event to go away. And so I agreed to stay on this year as sort of an operational and logistics. And I would foresee that that's probably going to happen for the next couple of years. If the new committee is happy, then I think that's how we're going to move forward, is that we have a new sort of leadership that is going to decide what direction the event goes and how the event is run. And I will be more of an operational and logistics. This is how we make it happen when you have the great ideas. But who knows what the future brings?
One last time, give us the details, the date, the time, registration.
April 11th, the event starts at 10 a.m. with the canoes and kayaks launch. The Sylvan Glen Crazy Crafts will launch at 11. Fannyville, the festival village at the Cabin Street Park, is open from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. And you can register to participate or to volunteer at floatyourfanny.ca.
Mary Lee Price, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
You're very welcome.
That was Float Your Fanny Down the Ganny co-organizer, Mary Lee Price. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.